going on, my brothers and sisters, aunties and uncles, monks, Kabbalists, wizards, mystics, sons and daughters of God. Welcome to Mr. Woo Woo. I'd like to start this podcast with an invocation to the flame. I am the eternal flame of life, a white fire being from the heart of God, inbreathing the great love breath of the Almighty. I dwell within my golden ray from the great central sun, crowned with the diamond rays of attainment. I abide upon my sacred lotus throne of light, letting my love flow out unto all creation. I am a sun in the palace of infinite light. My world, the altar of infinite space. My radiance, the peace of the great solar quiet. I am the undying flame of life everywhere, the great eternal joy and glory and perfection of existence. I am. I am. I am. 3 times 3, I am. I am Elohim. Elohim, Elohim. Elohim, 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 Elohim. 7 times 7, I am Elohim. Just wanted to start out this podcast with some real shit for once. And I'd like to welcome you to this podcast. Take in the energy of that if you're feeling resonant with it. It's not for you. It's not for you. Set it aside and let that energy be for someone else. I thought today would be intriguing to also share this with you. I'd come across this earlier this week. It doesn't get any more real than this either. And I remember finding this and just being like, this encapsulates everything. And of course, this gentleman encapsulated everything within 2 pages. This comes from a race of beings who had foreseen the end of existence as we know it at the end of 2012. Known as the Hopis, H-O-P-I, very sacred tribe who holds many knowledges about ancient ways and songs and vibrations of calling forth the powers of the earth and the universe. This comes from the Hopi Indian chief, White Eagle, and he recently gives his commentary on the, shall we say, everything post 2012, and here we are in year 12 after that. So we're coming around to some really cusp kind of stuff. And if you ever were to pick a time to, like, now I'm going to get down to business and start grokking, dude, grok your fucking face off right now. He did not say that, by the way. That's all me. Grok your fucking face off. You could put that on a t-shirt, dude. No trademark. Go for it. Because we are spirit, and anything that is unlike that quality is being rendered almost like oil and water starting to separate from each other vibrationally and chemically. And yeah, anyways, I'm going on and on, but let me just tell you about this Indian chief, Hopi Indian chief White Eagle. A fucking awesome name, right? Of all the, you know, it's like, you know, stands on one leg, whatever. Dude, this guy's name is White Eagle. Do you know how like probably archetypally perfect a Native American person you have to be, both spiritually and physically and mentally, to get that kind of name? Anyway, sorry. I'm making assumptions, but I bet you have to be like the shit. Like, you got to be Peter Parker, man. You got to have some ninja skills and be a genius and everything on top of it. Have the wisdom, be the man. Anyway, this is what he said. Make sure my equipment is working properly. And that's what he and she said. Anyway, this moment humanity is experiencing that can be seen as a door or a hole. Sorry, I'm already fucking this up. Sorry. Blah, 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 blah. Murdering millions of melons. Okay. This moment humanity is experiencing can be seen as a door or a hole. The decision to fall in the hole or walk through the door is up to you. If you consume the news 24 hours a day with negative energy, constantly nervous, and I'll add kind of like TM onto that, social media, constantly nervous with pessimism, you will fall into this hole. But if you take the opportunity to look at yourself, to rethink life and death, to take care of yourself and others, then you will walk through the portal. Take care of your home. Take care of your body. Connect with your spiritual home. When you take care of yourself, you take care of everyone at the same time. Do not underestimate the spiritual dimension of this crisis. Take the perspective of an eagle that sees everything from above with a broader view. There is a social question in this crisis, but also a spiritual question. The two go hand in hand. Without the social dimension, we fall into fanaticism. Without the spiritual dimension, we fall into pessimism and futility. Are you ready to face this crisis? Grab your toolbox and use all the tools at your disposal. Learn resistance from the example of Indian and African peoples. We have been and are exterminated. But we never stopped singing, dancing, lighting a fire, and rejoicing. Don't feel guilty for feeling blessed in these troubled times. Being sad or angry doesn't help at all. Resistance is resistance through joy. You have the right to be strong and positive. And there's no other way to do it than to maintain a beautiful, happy, bright posture. Have nothing to do with alienation. It's a resistance strategy. When we cross the threshold, we have a new worldview because we faced our fears and difficulties. What you can do now is this. Remember serenity in the storm. Keep calm. Pray every day. Make a habit of meeting the sacred every day. And finally, show resistance through art, joy, trust, and love. And that's from the Hopi Indian Chief White Eagle, July 9th, 2021. I thought that so beautifully encapsulated the entire, what we call the ascension path, trying to raise the energy up to fifth dimensional frequencies and harmonics. The physical body, the physical hologram is the last thing to be translated. First, you have to work with your consciousness, clear out all the boogeymen, your basement, clear all the psychological blocks to love and worthiness. Then you have to train yourself to maintain attention and focus on specific subjects for prolonged amounts of time. To try to create the habit of thinking about God all day, whether you call him Shiva, Yehoshua, Allah, Father, I Am, Great Mother. The point is withdrawing your attention from the senses and the hologram around you that you see, and going where, if you place your hand on your heart, going within and feeling where the source of your life is and putting your attention on that. That's what takes you to the other dimensions. The heart is the gateway. But everybody's failing because they're trying to do it mentally. And they're trying to like force their mind into being able to comply with their wishes. When really, it seems like the way to reprogram it is by controlling your attention. So if you can remember, at the very least, to take your attention off of things that are unpleasant or don't profit you anything, then you'll have benefited by hearing it said for the millionth time, on a millionth different way, the same truth on this podcast. And practice that yourself. And forgive yourself for not, by the way, for having not done that. I don't do it all the time. I'm just conscious of the game more often. I remember more quickly, oh shit, everything around me is spirit and God, and I'm supposed to be merging with that right now. Oops, I was thinking and paying attention to other things other than, you know, the source of creation that's just there. And it's also inside of you, doing every metabolic exchange, every twitch of the muscle, every beat of the heart. It's just right there waiting for you to notice. I always thought that that's maybe why Buddha was like, oh yeah, like when he enlightened people, what they call attained, when they attained nirvana, they look over at him and he'd be like, shh, don't, you know, they won't believe you that it's that close, that it's right there. It's right there. It's only the mind running its mouth during the movie, you know. If it just gets quiet long enough, you start to feel the rhythm and pulses of life in your body and in the life forms around you, and you start to, you know, realize it, and then you go, shit, your taxes are due, and you go, huh? Or, oh, you got to get that thing for your kid, huh? What? And it rips you out of that right back into your mind, and you start thinking again. And right now, with the sun peeking out as it is, right after the beautiful peak energies of the summer solstice. Summer solstice. I like saying it that way now. It's summer solstice, but the Sadhguru says summer solstice, and it just sounds so much cooler, dude. The summer solstice. Mm-hmm. Now that that has happened, the energies are going to slowly begin to diminish. But while they're still at jet fuel levels, you know, put your attention on not only the source of creation. Once you really get anchored in that, you start being uplifted by a spiritual, your recognition of your spiritual reality. Then you turn your attention seemingly outward and send that love and light and gratitude. Thank you, thank you, thank you to everything that both improves your life or makes your life shittier, whether it's a person, a condition, a place or thing, but saying thank you to it. It's there. If it's a blessing, it's a reward for having put your attention in the right way in a particular subject. If it's not, if it's disease, if it's feeling stuck, a feeling that's anything less than pleasant, that's also there as a good thing to train you how to dissolve it with either forgiveness or gratitude, that you have still room for improvement, which is awesome, which means you're not done evolving. And that's fun too. We can always, I think, become a better version of ourselves. If you're still visible in this light spectrum, then there's still something else that you can let go of. There's still something else that, still some corner of your heart or your mind that needs letting go or forgiveness or acceptance. Acceptance is so powerful too, you guys. Like, acceptance, like, Buddha said all of our suffering comes from just our inability to accept certain things. That's it. If you can accept even the shitty hand you have been dealt, it's been documented many times that it often dissolves. because accepting something was the big fucking deal in the first place, you know? So hard to do that because so many of us, our ego makes us, like the mask you wear, like it's just its nature to lie. It doesn't even know it's lying to itself. And it does all the time. You know, it really comes out when people drink, but lies all the time, especially yourself. Like your perception of oneself is just so skewed because of that. And it can make you think that you're doing well when you're not. So it's so important to take a moment to like close your eyes and realize you're not this mental character that has been cobbled together through memory and opinion and philosophy. You're actually the soul wearing that mask. And down here, everybody's eyes are wide shut. Everybody's in a Polanski film. We all have to learn to take off the mask, or even while wearing one, realize we're the actor, we're not the character. So you can forgive yourself. It's because you thought you were this voice in your head. It's okay. Forgive yourself. Everybody is hypnotized to some degree or another. We're all trying to improve the dialogue in our head, you know, or at least gain more. Once you gain command and control of it, at least feel free to contradict anything that's negative, right? Yeah, you're a fucking poser, you know, imposter syndrome. You just go, yeah, shut up. You can even accent your voice like Billy White Tits. Yeah, shut the fuck up. You know, you can do that. Just, yeah, it's that easy. Your mind is at all times arguing with itself anyway. That's one of the natures of the subconscious, conscious, and superconscious mind. Is it's going to ping, ping, ping from everywhere. None of it's you. The only one that's you is the quiet one. I came back from the East Coast not long ago, Connecticut. Interesting people, aggressively grumpy people. God bless them. Like if you were to take that thing, like Californians are airheaded and daydreamy, then man, Connecticut is aggressively grumpy. And beautiful, absolutely beautiful out in Connecticut. Deciduous trees everywhere. Rented a car in Turo. It's pretty good. It's a decent app. Not a sponsor, but you know, it's like Airbnb for a car. And trying to do a celebration of life for somebody, it can be really challenging because that party's supposed to connotate that we're supposed to be like happy at this point, you know? Sometimes I feel like sometimes we need to do like a double ritual. The first one, you know, where we sob our eyes out and get drunk and beat our breasts and wail and, you know, feel the gut-wrenching pain of the loss. Squeeze it out almost like a poison. And then a year later, you know, this one was six months later, a year later, then celebrate their life. So you have that perspective, you have that distance, you know. So it was kind of a sad affair, but also a joyous one. We went to go and basically perk everybody up. I'm not like pleasant to be around when death is the subject, because I have such a unique perspective of that particular phase of life. I celebrate it. Oh, like yogis, like, will, you know, meditate in graveyards. I used to go hang out in graveyards when I was a dorky, you know, high school kid. I'd even take great girls on dates to that, you know. That was that kind of guy. Putting on the creepy moves, right? Thriller. I was influenced by Thriller as a kid. That's my fault. And it's Michael Jackson's. But not that way. But yeah, dude, when it comes to death, it's, to me, it's just, like Dumbledore says, it's just the great next adventure. Consciousness continues on. That's what people wonder, is it just lights out? And that's because they think that their mind, they identify with the mental body. And in a more base way, the physical body, the temple. When the thread of consciousness and then life are withdrawn, it's into simply a higher vibrating aspect of the being that held all of those molecules and cells and those processes together. Just a temporary brushstroke on the tapestry or on the canvas of life. That's what we all are. That's why, I mean, it's there to remind you, time is ticking. Time is the commodity that we truly have. You only have a few moments to be able to either make an impression on other people's lives or to develop godly virtues that are currency and are station in the higher dimensions, where you can earn your stripes, basically, by overcoming the obstacles of matter and the tyranny of the ego itself. It's such a difficult game. And most people, this is the only one where the beings really, they don't know like that they're playing it. You know, that's the real trip. That's the real trip. Like, look around you. This is all, look around you. Look around the room or a space where you're at right now. Everything you're looking at is spirit. Even the empty space in front of you, your physical body, everything is energy, either in the form of vibrating empty space that's torsioning and moving at unbelievable speeds itself, or particles such as electrons, protons, moving at also unbelievably rapid speeds, giving the illusion of geometry, light, sound, and color, you know, and color. It's all a hologram, basically. But you, what you think is you, your physical body and your mind, is part of that hologram. But what people don't know is if you grasp control of your thinking process, you can at least influence, not on the greater hologram, you can influence like other people's lives in a way that isn't obstructive, that doesn't violate their free will, because that's kind of a crime. Not kind of, it's like the crime. But you can begin to think positively on people's behalves. They call that praying. But people don't realize prayer isn't like supplication and asking. It's also a creating. It's a co-creation with the creator, if you know how to do it. We're doing it unconsciously and poorly, which is why we've created a pseudo hell, purgatory, heaven on earth, as opposed to just a heaven on earth, because of the qualities of thoughts that we've had over the centuries and eons. Right now, we're trying to perfect that process by wedding love, as proclaimed by the Great One, wedding love to the thinking process. Because when that happens, perfection occurs, perfect manifestation occurs, heaven comes to earth, we all dance as gods on earth, not the creator, just little itty bitty gods, children of God almost, if you will. And really enjoy the paradise, as I believe was intended in the beginning. And then we'll all float, you know, we'll all fly. Our hearts will fly, and we'll be one. Pray that that comes swiftly, my friends, my brothers and sisters. Pray it comes swiftly. I'm your Mr. Woo Woo. Thank you very much for joining me. Peace and aloha.